Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to look at all the announcements that are at the back of the bulletin. I think that last page does have a whole schedule for our Lent and Easter season. So you may want to take that with you or look at it. Just a reminder, this week then for our midweek services, we do have a 10 o'clock worship service on Wednesday morning, and that is in the chapel. And then our Lenten rotational this week will be at the Presbyterian Church, and that is supper at 6 o'clock and worship at 7 o'clock. All right, anybody else with announcements this morning? Any announcements? Nothing? Okay, I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, In the Cross of Christ Thy Glory. Begin the service in remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not kill.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his cattle, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you, and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them, and repent of them, and pray for your boundless mercy, for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O Lord God, you would have us put no trust in anything we do. Mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed. You may be seated.
Reading is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. You shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your lives. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. The word of the Lord. Psalm chapter 32 will be read responsively. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. The second reading is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the man who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. How are y'all doing today? Everybody doing good? All right. Good. So I'm going to start with a question today. What did you have for supper last night? DQ? That works. What else? Come on, what did you have for supper last night? Remember? Sausage? There you go. What about breakfast? What did you have for breakfast? Or did you have breakfast?
Had a donut? Huh? A what? Eggs, bacon. You had a big breakfast, huh? Well, I got a little snack for you here. There you go.
Boy, you should see the looks I'm getting up here. It's on a rock. Guess what?
That comes up in our gospel lesson today because Jesus is being tempted by the devil, okay? And one of the things that happens, the very first temptation is, he knows that Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, here's a rock. Turn it into a piece of bread. You got the power, right?" And he does that. He does temptations three times. He tempts Jesus. But there's a difference there between what the devil does and what Jesus does for us. Okay? The difference is every time that the devil said something, he always had one little word in there. It's a two-letter word. It says, if you are the Son of God, turn that into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, angels will catch you. If you worship me, that's the thing about the devil. He tends to put ifs on things. But Jesus didn't do that. He had a rough job. He was fasting and getting ready for his ministry. This is the beginning of that ministry that he starts with, that he does for us. It's his path to the cross. And he doesn't put any ifs on it. Come on in, have a seat. And he doesn't put any ifs on it. He says, "I'm going to do this." It gets tough. Matter of fact, on the garden, he even says, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." It was tough. He said, if this cup can pass from me." It was tough, but he never put an if on it. He always said, "Your will be done," because he knew he had to do it for us. And all he asked back in return was faith. If you notice, things have got a little darker around here, huh? We've got, went from white pyramids to purple, dark purple. And the cross all of a sudden has shown up. That's what happens with Lent. Lent is a time of preparing. Lent is a time of thinking, about how much he has done for us, about our life. And sometimes, you know what, we talk about giving up stuff for Lent, but sometimes we forget while we're doing this thinking and preparing for this cross to also think about the many blessings that he's given us. There are people who don't have food. One of the many blessings we have is that we have food to eat and we have water to drink. We sometimes forget to add the blessings into the things we take away. But there is one thing that we do, and that is, this is a time of thinking, this is a time of preparing, and so consequently, it's not really a super celebrative time. And here's a word that we use. Would you help me hold it up? You grab that in? And I'm going to have one of you all grab that in. Take it, okay, and hold it up. The Alleluia. And it's always said at Easter, but guess what? During Lent, we're going to do something different with it. We're going to put it away like Jesus was buried in the tomb until Easter. Because right now, we're supposed to be thinking about his path to the cross and his ministry that he started with his temptation to the devil. And then on Easter, I'm going to ask you to help me bring it back, like Jesus came back from the dead. And then we will parade it down the aisle on Easter Sunday with joy in our hearts because we've got somebody that doesn't put an if on saving us. Okay? Let's have a prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter this time of Lent, we are very thankful for all your blessings. Help those things that we give up for Lent, if we do, to remind us not so much of just giving something up, but also that it is giving up something for you so that we can focus on you and your wonderful gift that you give us with your life, death, and resurrection. Amen. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This last week we started our Lenten journey with Ash Wednesday. We heard the words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Lent is a time to think about our mortality, to think about where we are headed and what we are doing. Lent is that journey moving towards the cross and the resurrection. But we do stop and think about where we are, what we're doing here in this life on earth. And one of the questions that does come up when we think about just our time here on this earth is something that does affect us, and that is death. Death surrounds us in many different ways. All of us have had somebody close to us in our life that has died, whether it's grandparents or parents or a spouse, or maybe even a child, a good friend. And it affects our lives, and we know, too, we know our own mortality. I mean, we can see our hair starting to get a little bit more gray, or some of it starting to come out. I think I'm battling which one's going to happen first, if I'm going to go totally gray or if I'm going to totally lose it all first. Our hearing doesn't work as good, our eyesight's not quite as good, you might lose a tooth or two somewhere along the way. We know that we are aging, and we know that we are getting closer to death. But the question this morning that I have is, why is there death? Why is there even death? When God created the heavens and the earth, he created everything perfectly. And if you go back and you read that creation story, that first creation story, when God gets finished with one day, he looks back, or it says, "It is so," and he looks back at that day and he says, "It was good. It is good. The Lord saw that it was good." Each day, he goes back and it says, "The Lord saw that it was good." And on that last day, he created animals, and he looked back and he said, "It is good." But he didn't stop at that. On that last day as well then too, he created human beings, and he said, "It is very good." And so today we get into that second story of creation, and we get into that story of what we know of as the fall. And so I have the question, why is there death in this world? And I've heard a lot of different explanations. I've heard a lot of different lines of why we have to die. Why do we have to die? One is that God is punishing that person. That person was an evil person. They were sinful. And so God brought death into the world to punish the people. Another reason, death just simply happens. It's a part of that circle of life thing that goes on. Another reason, I've heard people say, well, it was just his time to go. His name was plastered on that big calendar in the sky. Another reason, I've heard it said, or somebody mentioned, she was so good in life that God wanted her to be in heaven with him. Or similar to that then too, at the death of a child, God just simply wanted another angel in heaven. Now, some of these may sound pretty good, but they're not adequate. Others, there is absolutely no truth to them. Some of them are even dangerous. Some of them even kind of make me angry to hear those things being said because they are not true and they are misleading. So why do we have to die? Why do people die? The best explanation is the story that we read this morning, the story of Adam and Eve and the fall. When God created, he created everything perfectly. He saw that it was good. And if you think back and or you look at the story, and there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no hunger, there is no pain, there is no thirst, there is no arguing, there are no wars. It's paradise. It's perfect. Mom and Dad aren't fighting over the thermostat, whether it's too cold or too hot. Everything is perfect. The world is perfect. You knew that you were going to have another meal. You knew that you had a place to sleep. You knew that you were safe. You knew that somebody wasn't attacking you. You knew that you weren't going to get sick. You knew that you weren't going to die because there was no death in the world. God did not create the death. It wasn't there. So how did death get into this world? It's right there in the story. The serpent comes up to Eve and says, did God say you can eat anything? And Eve says, yes, anything but that one tree, the fruit off that one tree. And the serpent says, well, do you know why he doesn't want you to eat that fruit? Because if you eat that fruit, then you will be like God. That was too much. It was too much for Eve. It was too much for Adam. And that is why there is death in the world, because God told them that if you eat of that tree, you will die. Death came into the world through that. But think about what they were looking at. What was the draw to eat that tree? Eat from that tree. Eat the fruit off of there. It was so that they could be like God. Now, this morning we started off our worship. Part of our liturgy was going through the Ten Commandments. And as you go through the Ten Commandments, they all point back to this very same thing. They all point back to that very first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And that temptation at creation, or in the Garden of Eden, was to be like God. So everything, anything, any commandment that we do break, we are breaking that first commandment. We're going back to that original sin. We're going back to that sin that brought death into this world. Every time we break a single commandment, we are bringing death into this world because we want to be like God. Think about it. If you're tempted to steal something, well, you're saying, it's okay for me to grab it because that's more important than listening to God. I'm not going to go to worship. I've got too much stuff to do this Sunday. I'm not going to stop and take time to worship God today. Well, then your own time, your own passions, your own pleasures, your own stuff that you got to do is set before God. You have a different God. You have broken that first commandment. you have brought death into this world. That is where death came from. It's not that God created death, or he's not sending it there to punish us, but we brought it on ourselves. We have brought it upon ourselves. And that's where death comes from. However, there's still hope. There is hope for us. As we look at this gospel lesson that we read this morning, Jesus too has been tempted. He's out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan is going to tempt him where he's most vulnerable. Just like Satan tempted Adam and Eve, where they are most vulnerable, that you will be like God. Satan is tempting Jesus where he is most vulnerable. I don't know about you, but I've never gone 40 days or 40 nights without eating something. And I can't imagine doing that. I can imagine, and I can't even imagine how famished Jesus would be. And so Satan tempts him first with food. Turn that stone into a loaf of bread. Have something good to eat. Jesus doesn't fall for it. He remains faithful to God. Or the second temptation, Jesus takes him up to a very high place on top of the pinnacle of the temple and says, go ahead and jump. You know that God the Father is going to save you. He's going to send a legion of angels to catch you. You're not going to be hurt. Again, Jesus does not fall to the temptation. Or the third time, again, Satan takes him to a high place and shows him all the kingdoms of the world with all the glory. All you have to do is worship me. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you everything. I'll stay out of your hair. Jesus does not fall to that temptation. We have brought death into this world. And if we left it there, we would just simply die. That would be it. We'd live however long we lived here on this earth, and we would die. But God does not wish death. God wishes life. I mean, that's why he created creation anyway. He wanted life. He brought life into this world. He brought life into us. God wants life. And so he gives us another chance. And St. Paul puts it this way in our reading from Romans. He says, for as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. God sent his Son into the world to be the one to bring us back into righteousness, to bring us back into life. God brought life into this world. We brought death into this world. But God wants to see life. And God is stronger than death. We're here in this Lenten journey. We are moving towards that cross where Jesus dies. But Jesus is stronger than death. And then we'll be celebrating that Easter event. That Easter event that is a promise to us that even though we die here on this earth, we will be raised to new life with him. God wants life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, Just As I Am. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer, that he would be merciful to his people. Lord, forgive your church when it falls into lukewarm worship, wayward teaching, fractured fellowship, stingy charity, and half-hearted witness. Forgive it when it condemns certain sinners, but rebrands its favorite sins as virtue. Help it to stand firm in your word when it is tempted by sins of faithlessness. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive this congregation when we focus on the speck in another's eye, ignoring the log in our own. Forgive us when we seek our own will, not yours. Forgive us when we boast of ourselves, not the cross and of Christ. Fashion us into the image of Jesus, so others, seeing our good works, glorify you alone, Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us when we are tempted to sin. Warn and rebuke us, so that we resist and repent. Guide us, so we feed on your word and commit ourselves into your care. Humble us, so we rely only on our Savior, who in all things was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive the nations and leaders of the world, including our own. Forgive the arrogance and ambition that drive decisions. Forgive the cruelty, suspicion, and hatred that fuel wars. Forgive the apathy, and prejudice that fuel neglect and injustice. Create new hearts within us and grant us your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, have mercy on all who are sick, injured, or handicapped, addicted, abused, or abandoned, despairing, frightened, or ashamed, and grieving or dying. Deliver them from the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Restore them to the fellowship with all who love them. Renew their faith in you, their Savior and Lord. Today we pray for Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Marge Wilhelmson, Margie Bolting, Kermit Kaler, and Larry Miller. Lord, in your mercy. Father, thank you for showing mercy to all who have died trusting in your promises. Keep us steadfast in faith. Forgive us when we fall into temptation. And through the Holy Spirit, breathe your life and love into us forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Come, for all is ready. Body of Christ. Blood of Christ.
Lamb of God, you take away sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Our closing hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.